It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
The pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum of Solace number 105. Now, thanks to those who've contacted us over the past wee while, and it is good to know that there are listeners all over the place, and some of you are asking, you know, what is this about? What we're trying to do with Quantum of Solace is give a Christian perspective on news events and trends and so on, to encourage us to pray and to think about things, and for those of you who are not Christians, maybe to encourage you to break out of your own particular bubble and see it from a different perspective. So we do like to hear all different perspectives. That's what this is about. Now, one of the problems is, in our culture, is the whole idea of news and how we do news. Soundbite news and everything else. And also this wonderful thing that's called fake news. Now, part of the problem there is that it's sometimes very difficult to distinguish between reality and fakeness. So I, for example, wrote a spoof letter, which to me was an obvious spoof on April Fool's Day from Nicola Sturgeon to me saying that she was calling a national day of prayer. I was amazed how many people took that seriously, even when I put in a ridiculous PS just to give people a hint that it was April the 1st. But I guess that's what's happening, and we see this in different ways. Now, how is this going to be dealt with in the future? Let me give you one alarming trend that I foresee, and it is this, that governments and those in authority, and a tendency towards authoritarian government is being seen in here in Scotland, in Europe, I think, in Australia, in Western liberal democracies, there is an increasing tendency towards a more authoritarian view of government. And this is seen with news that's coming out of Germany just now. Germany has officially unveiled a bill to deal with social media. Now, the interesting thing is that large groups like Google and Facebook are going to be compelled to remove fake news. You think, well, that's good. You know, news that's false, that's a lie. You know, something that's just completely ridiculous, like reality TV star becomes American president. Right, all fake news gets removed. What they put in is that fake news that incites hatred could be removed. And this is what will happen. I will absolutely predict this, that views which do not fit the liberal sexual agenda will be classed as fake news, that they will be removed. This is an attempt at suppressing free speech.
Shut up!
And let's go from Germany to Australia. Now, you have to be careful with this story because there's more to it than meets the eye. But what does meet the eye, or what is there, is pretty horrendous. And that is the question of fairy tales.
Classic fairy tales are in the spotlight across Victoria this morning, as schools may soon have to scrutinise them for gender bias.
Fairy tales in the state of Victoria, including things like Snow White and Cinderella, could be removed because they give boys a sense of entitlement and girls poor self-esteem. This is part of a $22 million two-year program aiming to tackle family violence in the state. It's called Respectful Relationships. And so you've got things like Beauty and the Beast, although not probably the new politically correct version, but gender stereotypes, Snow White, for example. I mean, why is she looking after all these men?
Supper's not quite ready. You'll just have time to wash.
You know, that's the kind of thing that we are talking about.
Instead, it's encouraging boys and girls to be fairy tale detectives. So to have a look at the roles given to boys and girls and perhaps even swap those roles around.
Knew there's a catch to it.
And our wonderful NHS in Scotland, let's come back to Scotland, have sent out an advice booklet, which is going to primary schools, and saying that schools should move away from the distinctions of male and female. There's a new 30-page policy document, and it's been produced in collaboration with three local authorities. The idea is that it should deal with issues such as homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, same-sex relationships, transsexualism, gender identity, and so on. But it's accepting absolutely the current doctrine, which most parents don't accept, that there is really no such thing as male and female, that we need to move away from these stereotypes. It's one of the reasons that I myself was at a meeting of very concerned parents thinking of setting up a Christian school. Now, if you're wondering where else all this is going, we've got Stonewall running a campaign saying that you should be able to put gender X on the new British passport that's coming. We have the question of gender again being raised by Nicola Sturgeon in New York at the United Nations, boasting about having quotas in Scotland where 50% of the cabinet are female. There was a program on BBC Today about how we need to get more women involved in sports, and the BBC are deliberately promoting women's sports whether people like it or not. But all of it is completely destroyed if you start saying there is no such thing as gender, or there are multi-genders, or you can be whatever gender you want to be. It will destroy women's sport. It will destroy the whole quota system. By the way, speaking of the quota system, I think we should have quotas for universities, because I think, don't you think? I mean, what would you think of this? If you found out that women are 43% less likely to go to university in the UK, don't you think that there's a disadvantage there and we need proper gender quotas and we need to restrict the number of men and we need to get an equal number of women at university? If you agree with that, then do you also agree, because that's not true, but this is true, men are 43% less likely to go to university? Do you then agree, in order for gender balance, that we should restrict some women from going? And if not, why not? Just a thought. Now, speaking of gender, let's talk about Mike Pence. Mike Pence is, of course, the Vice President of the United States. And it's quite a shocking thing. He has a happy marriage and he's been faithfully married to his wife for decades. But he has come under considerable criticism and ridicule recently because of an interview that he gave, not yesterday, not last month, not last year, but in 2002. In which he stated that he basically followed what is known as the Billy Graham rule, that he would never be alone with a woman who was not a relative, or not his wife in particular. Cue ridicule. This is portraying women as vampires, sexual vampires out to seduce. It's derogatory. It's demeaning. Imagine if you were working for him and you couldn't have a meeting alone with him and all that kind of stuff. And so people are having a go at him. Now, the irony here is the utter hypocrisy of people moaning and groaning and complaining about Donald Trump and his attitude towards women. And here is Mike Pence showing a very respectful attitude. It's just incredible how so much of the criticism deliberately, and I think this is absolutely deliberately, misrepresented what he was doing, didn't seek to understand, and just went for the cheap jibe and the cheap headline. Be very, very careful. Fake news doesn't just come to you through social media. It also comes to you through respected media organizations. Let me explain it this way. I basically follow the same rule, maybe not as tightly, but if you're a woman and you're coming to see me in my office, unless some of the other office staff are there, then you're not seeing me in my office on my own. You and I are probably going to go down to a coffee shop. I'm not saying I'm not going to meet with you, and I have lots of female friends. But I'm sorry, I'm not going out for dinner with a woman on my own. I'm not meeting up for one-to-one Bible study with a woman on my own. And that's not to be derogatory to the women. That's because I know myself. That's because when you're in a position of power, or in my case, not so much of power, but of intimacy, where people are talking about their deepest personal feelings, it's very easy for that to transfer. Now, personally, I wish we lived in a culture where that wasn't the case. When I first came to Dundee, I found it quite easy. I'd go and visit female students in their flats and so on. I wouldn't do that now because of the culture. Don't you think it is completely hypocritical and paranoid of those who are laying in to Mike Pence when all he's doing is showing respect and civility and he's honouring his own wife? Our culture needs more of that, not less of it. There was a wee poll conducted I thought was quite funny. Women, do you want men to be more like Mike Pence, Anthony Weiner, Bill Clinton or Bruce Jenner? And it was 3% Anthony Weiner, 5% Bill Clinton, 11% Bruce Jenner and 81% Mike Pence. That's a kind of no-brainer.
They're back. Those chocolatey gooey goodies are back. Cream egg hunting season
has finally arrived!
Maybe this is a good thing for us to finish with. You know, occasionally you get opportunities in the media. Now, usually you get a bit of notice. And yesterday, I was sitting at my desk, and at 8:55, phone rang, and it was the BBC. Would you like to discuss the Cadbury's eggs controversy? Sure, I said, why not? When? 1 minute. So it was the last bit live on BBC News. They didn't tell me anything about it.
Exasperated, that might be the appropriate adjective to describe the Prime Minister's reaction to the decision of the National Trust and Cadbury's to omit the word Easter from some of the advertising for their annual children's egg hunt. The move managed to rouse the ire of the Church of England, and it went all the way to Riyadh, where Theresa May waded in.
Well, I'm not just a vicar's daughter, I'm a member of the National Trust as well. I think the stance they've taken is absolutely ridiculous, and I don't know what they're thinking about, frankly. Easter's very important. It's important to me. It's a very important festival for the Christian faith, for millions across the world. So I think what the National Trust is doing is, frankly, just ridiculous.
The guy who was discussing it with me was from the Humanist Society. Now, listen to what he had to say.
No, this is a complete fake news story, quite frankly, that's been whipped up by the church in an attempt to stay relevant, as more and more people in the UK live very happy and fulfilled lives without religion. A quick glance both at the National Trust and the National Trust website for Scotland shows that Easter is mentioned prominently throughout it, all over it. So there's absolutely no story here. It's just the church trying to stay relevant as more and more people don't follow them at all anymore.
Now, it's interesting. You listen to that whole conversation. He came very obviously thoroughly prepared. What was my aim? My aim was very simply, I don't care to hoots much about the Cadbury's eggs thing. Although, let me back off a little bit and say this. All those Christians who are being all sniffy and going, oh, well, Easter's not about that and so on, are actually missing the point. There aren't many people who are going, this is what Easter is really, really about. We are talking about the removal of the word Easter. Now, why? Why remove the word Easter?
Reverend David Robertson, is the church struggling for relevancy?
No, not as much as the humanist. I mean,
We do more weddings than yourself, so that's quite funny to say.
If you attribute relevance to the number of weddings that you do, that's quite amusing, really, and quite
really
sad.
Let him speak.
The whole fuss about this, of course, Easter is about much more than Easter eggs. It's about Christ dying on the cross for our sins. And of course, the humanists just really don't want that to be talked about.
And part of it is part of the de-Christianization and so on of society. It's not that Easter eggs are absolutely crucial to the story of the cross and so on. That's not what's being said. What is being said, and what I think Theresa May was right to point out, is that more and more things are being removed. Now, in that clip, for example, the presenter even said,
well, Reverend David Robertson, might it be more inclusive for those who are not Christian to take part in something that is symbolic if it doesn't contain the word Easter?
Yeah, that, by the humanist definition of inclusion, which is to exclude everything that doesn't fit their faith or philosophy.
Wouldn't it open it to people of all faiths if you remove the word Easter? You see where all this is going? I mean, it is insanity. But, I mean, as I said, I didn't particularly care about the whole Easter egg thing. What was fascinating was the way that the humanist didn't care about the Easter egg thing.
These are foods, Fraser Sutherland, associated with Easter for the reasons that the Reverend Robertson has just outlined. So why, albeit the word Easter might be in some of the literature, why remove it from the title of this?
Well, I think really what this is all about is, you know, a Christian group really so quick to cry persecution, and they're not being persecuted at all. They have legal rights, such as above and above beyond many other groups, such as educational reps on council committees.
Sure, but why take the word Easter out of the name of this egg hunt?
For example, that other groups don't have. So too often, those with power really mistake losing privilege with persecution.
But is it privilege to actually call it an Easter egg hunt?
So low to this type of fake news.
His only purpose being on there was to talk about Christians moaning about persecution, religious representatives on education committees, and bishops in the House of Lords. Do you know what I just thought about the humanist? I thought, my goodness, you're so joyless. You're so miserable. You're so doer-faced. I think the humanist society are kind of like the Puritans of the atheist movement, except I kind of love Puritans, proper Puritans, but I mean Puritans in the caricatured sense of doom, gloom, religion, bishops, educational commissioners. Quick, get rid of Easter eggs. Oh, this is terrible.
What they're trying to do here is get relevancy, hold on to the privileges that they already have. When the majority of people in the UK, they don't live their lives by a religious creed. They're quite happy and fulfilled not doing Latin, and I think people just want to take part in an Easter egg hunt, whether it's got the word Easter in it or not.
Yeah, not even the dumbest church person, and there's quite a lot, not even the dumbest church person would think that complaining about the removal of the word Easter from Cadbury's Easter eggs would make the church more relevant. Now, that's not what's being done. We don't make the church relevant in that way.
Actually, the church is not claiming persecution at all. No one's claiming persecution here. It's just indicative of something that's going on. And I mean, as I say, I don't care. I mean, Cadbury's was initially a Quaker organization, and as a Quaker, Mr. Cadbury would not celebrate Easter. So, I mean, I don't have any real problem with that. But I do find it quite amusing that you have a humanist come on the program and seek to talk about religious reps in schools. I mean, they take every opportunity to attack Christianity and to remove, and I can understand some in the church responding in that way.
And even better, this, I mean, you have to listen to this. This is brilliant.
I don't care. I want the message of Easter about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins to get out to people.
So why aren't the church talking about that then? That's what the church should be doing. They should be making themselves relevant about those stories.
Hallelujah! That's what they should be doing. Absolutely right. You got it. Well done.
Well done to the humanist. And I look forward to discussing it more and more. So there we were. I was on the BBC to discuss Cadbury's Easter eggs, and the humanist says you should be discussing Jesus dying on the cross for our sins.
Are you listening, church?
Isn't that just brilliant? I thought it was brilliant. I mean, at the end, I honestly thought it was so funny, and the Lord did help. And I did shout out at the end, Happy Easter, Christ is risen. I got switched off at the Christ is risen bit, but we got the Happy Easter bit. So it was just an opportunity that's there. And, you know, as Easter comes up, please take the opportunity to invite people to come and hear about this amazing story. Don't get too wound up about Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies and all the rest of it. We have great news. Not fake news, but we have great news. That's what Solace exists for. That's what the church exists for. That's what all Christians are for. Whatever the news that's in the world, and so much of it is depressing, we have great news about a great savior. See you next week.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it, or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens, trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.